Well, good evening once again. This is John St. Germain broadcasting live from Chateau St. Germain, located in the beautiful hills of East Tennessee. And thank you for joining us once again. And sorry we missed you last week. I was in the throes of pneumonia, though, which I've successfully conquered through the use of very strong antibiotics, root-related quartz, and, of course, our friend Sodalite. Not to mention some application of amber and various roots and herbs that maybe we'll talk about in a future episode. tonight we have a wonderful episode. We're going to recap the four branches of crystal gazing, as detailed by Mr. Claude Conlon, the visionary branch, the projective branch, the receptive branch, and the transformative branch. So I'm very happy to be presenting this for you and recapping this for you. Next week, sadly, we're going to do another special broadcast because I will be recovering from surgery. I have surgery next Thursday to repair my poor ripped rotator cuff. You know, I'm falling apart on you, folks. So why don't you grab your crystal ball walls and come back after this brief musical segue, and we'll start on our discussion of the four branches of crystal gazing. We'll be right back.
I went to see the palm reader, and she looked down into my hand. Yes, I went to see the palm reader. And she looked down into my hand. Then she looked up into my face and said, indeed, you are one troubled man.
As you know, the Crystal Silence League was formed around 1970 by Mr. Claude Conlon to spread positive affirmation and prayer to those in need to do so. And, of course, it was refounded in cybernetic form by adepts of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church for the same reason. And people do go online to post their prayer requests, and we get hundreds of these per week. Sometimes we get hundreds per day. And it is our custom to read these online, identified by prayer number alone, and to pray for these folks, a sampling of which I download in print, to begin each show the purpose of the Crystal Silence League Hour. And let's start that right now, shall we? So get your crystal balls, and if you don't have those, just to get your mind right, to pray for these individuals. We'll start right now. Prayer ID number 35998, SD, who prays that she and her beloved A see their relationship in a positive light and that healing occur, and that they realize that they are the love of each other's life and that they are only meant for each other. Other prayers, to please heal that relationship and to let nothing but positive energies flow between them. May this be so. There's nothing more satisfying in life than a good relationship between two lovers. Prayer ID number 35995, GR, praying for positive outcome in a legal case, that the lawyers that the lawyers argue well, and that they see the lies that are being told against them. Also, protection from danger, GR prays for. We're looking for prayer number 35993, AB, needs a good job right now, been unemployed for 2 years and applying for jobs, but is facing constant rejection. May she get a good job and that right soon. Looking for prayer number 35992, EMN, needs clarity. Her heart and soul are crushed. Her love of 7 years is disillusioned and seeing someone else. And she says she loves her and always will. Says, prays that she returns and that her heart and soul will be healed, and prays that her family will accept the love. Please pray for recovery in this relationship. Prayer ID number 35991, KR, also needs legal help and help for her mom. And this is a title search, it looks like, and that there are mental issues involved, and may healing go around, and that this does rule in their favor. Prayer ID number 35990, this is anonymous. There are negative people in their life, and they need removal of the ungodly people from a group for safe pregnancy and prevent harmful associations with drug and alcohol. May this situation be cleansed. Prayer ID number 35989, AA, thanking all the saints and spirits, Saints Anthony, Michael, Jude, Expedite, Sun, and Planets. Thanks for their help with all the problems he was having. For the saints' sake, you're welcome. Prayer ID number 35988, another anonymous one, needs protection from danger, asking for protection from all sides and to be in the hearts of all who think about this person, and protection from all speech and all negative energies, and protection from all those who see this person, and may protection embrace this person from all sides. Amen. Prayer ID number SL, or prayer ID number 35987 for SL, urgent need of finances in order to pay all monthly bills. She comes before God the Father to ask for finances to provide money to pay all the monthly bills. Prayer ID number 35986, MR, prays for the son who's struggling, and says that God sees his area and sees his needs, and to bring healthy love into his life, let his career be stable and profitable. May it be so. Prayer ID number 35985, DP, who prays for interviews for the jobs he's applied for, and that he finds a job or independent contract best suited for him. May that be so. Prayer ID number 35984, KR, who has a court trial coming up, and prays for 100% ruling in the favor with a generous verdict, and let the lies that are being told be revealed. Prayer ID number 35983, TS, needs to be healed from cancer, who hopes that her sister and best friend be healed of the cancer that afflicts them. May that healing take place. Prayer ID number 35982, MA, who prays for the her husband to be healed of the affair that he's having, and to respect his family and to be faithful. Prayer ID number 35981, LH, who is who prays that her relationship with M be healed, and that she be healed, that her spirit be uplifted, and she be healed of the depression that she feels. May her spirit be uplifted, and may her relationship be reconciled. Prayer ID number 35980SF, who's praying for her daughter E. Please pray that any evil spirits attached to E will be released from her. And she sees, apparently she's seeing a dark figure. And may she be freed from the spirit that seems to be haunting her. And may she be released from this vision. Prayer ID number 35979, EB, who's praying to be protected and safe from all harm. May she be protected from any negative influence or spirits. Prayer ID number 35978, WL, who has a general prayer request, who prays that they get the house they'll be making an offer on this Wednesday at the price that they offer on that day. May they get that house that they want. Prayer ID number 35977, KCL, who's praying that God heals her heart and lungs, that the blood pressure is always at a safe level, and that the heart rate is at a safe level also. May she be healed. Prayer ID number 35976, LV, who prays that her son's father, Jay, who has 4 brain tumors and 2 blood clots in his lungs, be healed, and please pray that his pain ends. And she needs strength for her son during this time of extreme sadness. May all those in this situation have the strength to endure this, and may healing occur. Prayer ID number 35979 needs a huge financial windfall to help take care of their bills and their life. Also praying for a good, faithful man in their life to help her and her son. Also needs negative influence drug people, as she says, to be removed from their life, to quit being bad influences on their children. So may their life get better. May their life get significantly better. Prayer ID number 35971, DE, needs to have a deep love in their life. She's hoping that L will emotionally be free to share her love, that she bears her soul to DE, and that the friendship grows deeper and stronger. I always like to see love, love expand and grow. Prayer ID number 35970KH needs Saint Expediti for immediate help. We'll answer the prayers regarding the things KH has been asking of him for the past week, bringing her ex back and other things relating to them. Prayer ID number 35969LH, who's still missing her ex M in hopes that they get back together soon. Prayer ID number 35968JP, dealing with severe skin problems on neck, back, and chest. He feels it's a mix of stress and spiritual attacks, also very weak and sick all the time, and begs for an end of suffering and pain. May he soon be healed of this terrible suffering. And prayer number 35967CR prays for her best friend, J.H., so she may continue to have the strength to stay away from her, and I quote, cheating boyfriend, A.R., who threw plates at her, has dragged her, and emotionally abuses her. May she have the strength to avoid and stay away from this apparently awful person. And finally, prayer ID number 35966DM, who's trying to buy a home and needs obstacles removed from buying the first home, and needs house blessings sending her way, and also needs removal of this heavy feeling, like a dark cloud, be removed from her life, and that her vehicle does not give her any more problems, that she cannot afford a new one. May these prayers be granted. May these prayers be granted. May blessings enter these people's lives, and may all those who come to the Crystal Silence League be the recipient of prayers and blessings. So may it be. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. We are discussing the four branches of Claude Conlon's crystal gazing. And, of course, the Crystal Silence League was founded by Mr. Conlon as a outgrowth of New Thought theory. And New Thought was founded in the end of the 19th century by Phineas Quimby. And what a name, isn't it? Sounds like he should be riding around in a wagon selling snake oil and stuff. But Phineas Quimby was quite a man. He was a mesmerist and a doctor, and he believed that the mind could heal the body. He was a proponent of mental healing, and he believed that all disease, mental and physical, was caused by wrong thinking. And he taught this and created quite a movement. And we won't go into the history of New Thought, but it's a very interesting one, and if you want to read about it, you certainly can online. But he... around him grew up many, many other New Thought advocates and authors, and like many movements of its time, it led to branches such as Religious Science, the Unity Church, the Church of Divine Science. It branched off into Christian Science, and Quimby said he had nothing to do with that. It led to... the law of attraction, the law of positive thinking, dealt with creative visualization, personal power, many things. Napoleon Hill was a famous New Thought writer. His famous book, Think and Grow Rich, which I'm a big fan of. And so it was quite a movement. Other authors were... Wallace Wattles, Perry Joseph Green, Frank Haddock, Thomas Troward, William Walker Atkinson, quite an influential writer. There were magazines and books that went everywhere. There have been expositions and meetings, but the basic belief tenets are that there's an infinite intelligence in the universe that's omnipotent and omnipresent. You can call it God, the Great Spirit, the Divine Principle, the Source. That Spirit is the ultimate reality. That the true nature of humanity is divine. That divinely attuned thought is a positive force for good. That all disease is mental in origin, and that right thinking has a healing effect. And it can be summed up in that mental states manifest in your physical reality. New thought is not a static or moribund process. It's a process that evolves, and so that the proponents believe that as humanity gains greater understanding of the world, new thought evolves, and the idea is that it becomes new every moment. That as you have greater and greater insights into it, you evolve with it. And Gene Houston, who's a very cool person, a very cool writer, speaks of the possible human, the ideal human, which is our capacity to become the best that we can. So the idea is that we have an inner perfection that we can achieve by refining and perfecting our mental states. Many people taught this. Divine thought grows out of the positivism of Berkeley. It grows out of Hinduism and Buddhism. It grows out of the thoughts of Emerson and Thoreau. Many schools of thought went into this. And when Conlon created the Crystal Silence League, his idea was the idea of a group of people receiving and sending positive thoughts and affirmations to each other via the means of crystal thought, crystal balls. And to this end, he created, quite uniquely, I think, several branches. Now, people have known about the idea of using a crystal ball for seership, but the idea of projecting and receiving, I think, was quite new. And the idea of using crystals for healing goes way back as well. So let's take a look at some of these in just a minute. First, I would like to talk about our stone of the week before I forget about it, as I tend to do in my excitement over our topic. And our stone of the week is bloodstone. And bloodstone is a green chalcedony, which is flecked with red spots, a very pretty stone, and a stone of tremendous versatility and power. It has a projective energy. It's a very hot stone. It's a very fiery stone, and it has a lot of different applications. In the old days, warriors carried it to stop bleeding. It would be placed on wounds, pressed on wounds, and it would cause the bleeding to stop. Now, in the old days, it was thought to be pure magic, but probably the effect was due to the pressure and the cool temperature of the stone. Now, it's still worn to keep blood healthy and help cure blood-related diseases. And if you hold it to your nose, it's said to lock it. It stops the flow of blood to the nose. And it's worn to cure fevers and is a general health-giving talisman. powers associated with it is to halt bleeding, to help promote healing, to help victory, courage, of course, being green for wealth. It helps in legal matters. It helps in business matters, strength and power, and visibility. Excuse me, especially magical invisibility. And it's been a stone that farmers have used. It's a farmer's talisman. It was worn during planting to increase the yield of crops. Women used to hang a bloodstone on the arm to prevent miscarriages, and on the thigh to ease childbirth. Now, for invisibility, the bloodstone was smeared with fresh heliotrope flowers and worn or carried. This was said to dazzle the eyes of the bearers and beholders. Now, the ritual is used sometimes during magical invisibility when you want to lay low and not attract the attention of other spell workers. I've seen bloodstones with talismans etched on it for that very purpose. Apparently, the bloodstones were engraved with the figures of bats or dragons for this very purpose. Bloodstones in the cash registers attract money. You carry it in the pocket of your purse, it attracts wealth. The very useful, as I said, in wealth, money, or business spells. So it's a very useful stone. You carry it to lend courage, it calms fears, and it helps eliminate anger. And it helps secure victory in court and legal matters. The bloodstone, very powerful stone. Not a very expensive stone, and useful to have many of these for different purposes. So that is our stone of the week. And that's my new segue music, which I hope you like. So the four branches of crystal gazing. The crystal ball is an interesting thing. Mr. Conlon says, the crystal ball, the gazing globe, the scrying mirror, the crystal skull are all well-known tools of the spiritual worker. If asked, why do you use a crystal? Most psychic readers would answer, why, to see the future, of course. Now, some few among you, he says, who have studied the properties of gems and minerals might also add a crystal can be used for healing. And so it can be used, either to convey its own essential energies to a person, or much as a hen's egg is used to collect negative spiritual energy and remove it from the body. So even in his day, these techniques were known. But there's much more to the crystal than the divination or healing. In this New Thought-influenced booklet, first published in 1919, the founder of the Crystal Silence League explains the use of the crystal in a method of employment almost unique to the history of spiritualism. So we have that there are four branches of crystal work. These are the visionary branch, also called crystallomancy or seership, the projective branch, also called silent influence or sending, the receptive branch, also called induction or receiving, the transformative branch, also called crystal magic or healing. Now, seership is by far the most difficult to master. Visionary work involves gazing into a crystal or any shiny or translucent surface for the purpose of seeing images, and these images are interpreted for spiritual or divinatory purposes, sometimes known as scrying. Scrying is an advanced divinatory art that very few ever really master, but many people can become quite proficient with practice. And crystal balls have been used for centuries as scrying devices. It's not essential. Many seers like Nostradamus saw visions in a bowl of water, and Joseph in the Bible used a cup for divination. Black ink, bodies of water, mirrors, various crystals have been used. But the crystal ball is very lovely, and there's something about it that arrests your attention. And Mr. Conlon chose the ball for his medium when he developed his four branches. So that's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to use. So spheres are considered the best solid for scrying, and orbs intended for scrying are best cleansed by moonlight. So you take your ball outside and you hold it up to the moon, and usually it's considered popular wisdom that the full moon is best, not essential, but best, and send all your positive energy into that ball, and you wrap your ball in cloth or put it in a bag and it's ready. I pointed out that the best scryers I've ever known have been the best meditators. Pardon me, I'm still getting over pneumonia. Meditative absorption may well be a foundation skill of clear scrying. Meditation develops precise focus, and if you don't already meditate, I highly recommend you do. You make a habit of it. Even 10 minutes a day can make a noticeable difference in your state of mind and your scrying skills. Mr. Conlon describes concentration skills in his book, Crystal Gazing, which you can get from the Crystal Silence League, which resemble many, many traditional meditation techniques. And in the second chapter, he teaches a very simple method. He says, hold a crystal in your hand and fix your attention upon it for 5 minutes. And then he points out how difficult this is. It's very simple, but it seems difficult. The mind and eye wanders from the object of attention. And he says, practice it until you get it. And anyone who's ever tried to meditate will tell you it is hard to sit still for 5 minutes and concentrate on anything, such as your breath. And all of the exercises in crystal gazing seem to stand the test of time, and I recommend them all. And he describes a few others, and I described a few others in the newsletter that I put out. One of them is called flame gazing, where you sit in a dark room and you place a candle on the table, and you sit lotus style, and you hold the crystal ball so that you're watching the flickering flame through the, try saying that five times, flickering flame through the ball, and you relax and you take a deep breath and you gaze into the ball, and you let your eyes move in and out of focus as you see various images rise and fall on the ball. And the trick is to really look through the ball without letting your eyes focus on anything in particular, and you can roll and rotate the ball if you like. And then you allow your mind to free associate with these images, and you don't try to force meaning on them or anything at this time. Another method is sky gazing, which was shown to me by a friend of mine named Gully, who was a Sioux shaman, who did it with a quartz crystal. And I brought out my little crystal ball and asked him to teach the technique with me. And we exchanged the ball and the crystal and took turns gazing at it through the sky. But you go outside on a partly cloudy day and you watch the clouds through your crystal ball. And you relax your mind and you roll the ball around and you look at the clouds and you look at the sky. You can do it at night and look at the stars and the moon. And you gaze at a rainbow if you get the chance. And look at a moonbow if you get a chance. A moonbow is, you go to a waterfall under a full moon and watch the moonbow. It's a fantastic experience. And be careful not to do this under a bright sun, because a crystal ball is a lens, and you can set yourself on fire if you're not careful. And water gazing, of course, is a scrying material in itself, but gazing at moving water through your crystal ball is mesmerizing, and it can facilitate trance, in fact. And if you find yourself having difficulty letting go of control, try the water gazing. So you do this, and after a while you'll start to see images. You might find animals or geometric figures or all kinds of amorphous images. So what do they mean? Now, it helps if you keep a journal and just write down these images and try not to overanalyze them, I guess. Sometimes the knowledge of symbols and their meanings help, but a lot of times scryers almost always see images that make personal sense to them. A lot of instruction manuals provide long lists and images of archetypal images, you know, from Campbell and Jung. And if you want to read Campbell and Jung, you'll learn all you ever want to know about images and symbols. and if you do Lenormand readings or tarot readings, you'll have symbols already in your mind. But sometimes the meanings are pretty clear. If you see a cat and your dog, and your daughter brings home a kitten that followed her home, that's pretty straightforward. You know, sometimes a cat is a cat, and but over time you develop your own vocabulary of images. I always call that a personal iconography. It's your personal set of symbols, and it's a very nice thing. Now, the size of the ball can make a difference. There's 1-inch balls and 2-inch balls and 3-inch balls, and I like the ones that are about 3 inches. It's a very satisfying ball, not too expensive. And Mr. Conlon doesn't specifically mention the use of crystal points or stones in his writings. He does here and there for various healing. He specialized in crystal ball gazing, and some popular mystics of his time gazed into large rubies and emeralds. The use of crystal points and stones was not that predominant in his time to the public at large, but you'll find those techniques are very effective with crystal points and stones. And any transparent or shiny medium yields itself to scrying, but certain crystals are believed to enhance clairvoyant talents. And now here's a list of them, really. Amethyst and aquamarine, azurite, beryl, black amber, carnelian, citrine, crystal quartz, emerald, flint, hematite, lapis lazuli, moonstone, obsidian, opal, sapphire, tiger's eye. There's a lot more, but those are good, and you can get them as spheres. You can wear them as rings or necklaces for scrying purposes, and you can use any of these for scrying purposes. Now, the visionary branch is a very difficult branch to master, but very satisfying to practice, and sometimes you have great success with it. It can come to you in spurts. Sometimes you'll scry and you'll get an image very clearly, and it'll work. It's very hard to do this regularly. It's hard to do it on demand, but sometimes you have great success with it. Meditation, as I say, is an invaluable skill for developing proficiency in all the branches: projection, reception, healing, all of it. It's a very important skill, I think, in any spiritual practice. It's not hard to learn. There's many forms of it. You already may know how to do it. If so, I urge you to practice it regularly. Do it at least 3 times a week, if not more. They say don't do it too long. Don't do it more than 20 minutes at a time. You can develop a thing. It's called there's a syndrome, a meditation aversion syndrome. If you meditate an hour a day or more, you develop a kind of aversion to human society. You become too sensitive to the flaws in human society. And I actually did that at one time. I was meditating an hour a day, and I couldn't stand human society. And one of my teachers said, "How long are you meditating?" I said, "About an hour a day." He goes, "Oh, dial that back, man." I said, "You'll have to quit and join a sangha. You'll have to become a monk if you meditate that much. You can't deal with society. You'll just become weird and isolated." And I was. But to begin, you just find a quiet room, turn off your cell phone, unplug everything, and you need a timer, and set it no longer than 5 minutes to begin with. and you increase your time over time until you meditate 3 or 4 days a week for 20 minutes and sit in a balanced position. Don't strain to sit ramrod straight. You'll get a backache. And you should start with loving yourself. You say to yourself, I'm happy, cherished, and loved. I love myself most of all. And a lot of that's counterintuitive. You're usually taught to hate yourself. You really are. You're taught to be very critical of yourself, but, you know, get over that. Flip that thought around. Flip it around. You know, in relationships, you think, how could anyone love someone like me? But turn that around. You know, say, well, why wouldn't someone love somebody as wonderful as me? You know, turn that around. You say, well, why wouldn't people love me? Why not? You know, I'm great. And turn that around. Turn it around. And it's not possible to love other people until you love yourself. It's just it's illogical. You just can't do it. Unhappy people can't wish happiness for others. If you don't believe that, look at your life. If you don't like yourself, you're going to punish other people. You resent other people when they're happy, and you're going to punish them either overtly or subconsciously. I guarantee it. So right here and now, we have to practice love on it. We have to love ourselves when we reflect on how to find this elusive happiness. You don't find it in the past. It's a terrible place, and you don't find it in the future because that's uncertain. You have to find it now, right here and now. And the only way you do that is to love yourself. And that's how you start meditation. So you have to meditate on the now. You have to find it within yourself, and then meditation becomes a search to find the place in your mind where you can't be moved, where you can't be touched, something solid and unchanging where nothing bad can touch you. No hex, jinx, curse, not even death can touch you. And you need stepping stones. So the first step is to cultivate happiness for yourself. The second is to project that happiness to everyone else. And you do that by identifying with every living thing. And you say, everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I hope you find true happiness too. And because if you don't cultivate loving kindness, you'll carry negativity and resentment into meditation. And that's what you'll find when you look inside yourself. And that's what you'll project outward. And that's what you'll receive. You won't be able to locate that solid, peaceful spot you're trying to find. So decide to love yourself. Decide to love everyone else. And when you've cleared your mind and filled it with loving kindness, you're ready to begin meditation on the breath. And that's the method Buddha taught. It's a very good one. It stood the test of time. So you concentrate all your attention on the sensation of breathing. You breathe in love, you breathe out love. It's very simple, and a lot of people think they're doing it wrong. They start going, make it too complex. They hyperventilate. Just inhale and exhale normally, and focus on any area where the breathing is easy to notice, the nostrils or the abdomen. Don't get self-conscious with it and hyperventilate. Just breathe naturally. And if your mind wanders, which happens, just don't get frustrated. Don't hyper-analyze it. Just bring your attention back to breathing. And so after a while, you may want to experiment with different types of breathing, short breaths, shallow, long and short, shifting the focus of attention, different parts of the body. And just let your attention grow out from that tiny little dot. Fill your entire body. Fill the room. Go beyond. Bring it back in. Experiment with your attention. And then when you're ready to come out of meditation, do it gently and return to the world. Meditation is something that you practice you develop it with practice, and you can get very, very good at it. And that's the whole process of that. So seership begins with. And really, all crystal work begins with meditation, which leads us into going into the silence. Going into the silence is something that you hear in New Thought, and this is very important before you start projecting. Going into the silence means I can give to you in a nutshell. It means you go from head space into heart space. And this is why a lot of people repeat affirmations and they get nothing. They'll say, I'm prosperous, I'm wealthy, I'm loved, I'm fortunate, I'm determined, I'm confident, but they get nothing back. This is because they're in headspace. They do this intellectually, but they've not taken it out of head space into heart space. Going into the silence means that you dwell into the spirit realm. You dwell completely in spirit. You have to go completely into faith. You can't believe this intellectually. You can't do it intellectually. A lot of people are going to just go, well, let me go into this and see if it works. No, you can't do that. You can't do it intellectually. You can't say it in your mind. You can't just repeat affirmations. And a lot of the law of attraction people, unfortunately, have this in their mind. They say, you know, repeat these affirmations. Now, you may get some results if you just repeat it. If you tell yourself something long enough, you might start to get a little bit of belief in it. You have to do this stuff like your heart's on fire. You have to send those prayers and affirmations out there with utter strength of conviction, or you're not going to get it back. You have to take it from head space into heart space. And, I mean, do you dig it? Do you get it? You see what I'm saying? You can't do this intellectually. You have to take it down into spirit. You have to step into the silence of the spirit. You have to get out of the talk of your mind, out of the chatter of your mind, and take it into spirit. You have to dwell into the entire meaning of it. If you're talking about goodness, you have to experience the goodness. You can't think about the idea of goodness. You have to experience the goodness. If you're talking about prosperity, you can't just think about prosperity. You have to experience in your heart the spirit of prosperity. If you're thinking about love, if you're wanting to project and receive love, you can't just think about, gee, I'd like to be loved. You have to experience what it is, the spiritual quality of love. You have to dwell in that state. You have to enter it and dwell in it. You have to take it out of the mind and into the heart. You have to go out of mind space into heart space. And you have to really understand this, and I hope you do. I hope you know what I mean by get out of your head space and into your heart space. You have to bring it into heart. You have to mean it. You can't do this stuff half-heartedly. If you do it half-heartedly, you'll get half results. And I was beating my head against the wall. I have a client, and I was telling her how to do this and coaching her to it. And she said, yeah, you gave me those stones, and they're next to my bed. And I look at them, and I go, well, I don't know if this stuff's going to work or not. I don't know if this stuff's going to work or not. And I was just beating my head against the wall, and I was saying, how are you ever going to get your life better if you don't even try? And I get frustrated. How are you going to change and transform and bring good things in your life if you don't ask, if you don't even try? And, you know, I just say, okay, you know, write me my check. and you know, go home and try it again. So when you project, when you're projecting, you have to give it to you with all your heart, and sending, you know, the projective branch, silent influence, sending. This is basically when you're doing spell work, you're sending, aren't you? You're influencing. You're trying to influence somebody or something, and so when you're sending, you're obviously trying to send a desire. You're projecting a wish. And you are saying, you're trying to will something into being that's not there. You want to create a thought. You want to send something out. If you're trying to send a person, let's say you're trying to send a thought to a person, you would say, yes, I'm calling you John Smith. And you hear me, you feel my presence, and you know I'm near you, you're coming close to me. No matter what hinders our meeting, it will be removed. You're to see me, I'll do it, and my power to make you glad when we meet. You want a job? I shall attain the position and win success. I'm reading right out of Alexander Conlon's book here. I shall attain the position and win success. I am glad, confident, expectant. I am prepared, ready, willing, and earnestly active to fill the position creditably. Friendship. I'm happy in the confidence of my friend, John Smith. We are agreed. We're in harmony. We're united. My friend is drawing nearer to me daily. True love. My love is real, unselfish, positive, and abounding. It shall attract and hold you, John Smith. And we shall not fail, not be separated, nor give way to any misunderstanding. Our love shall unite us. We shall marry soon. We shall not delay. All promises shall be fulfilled. Healing. Joyfully I see you, John Smith, in health, strong, well, restored, active, and happy. You're free of pain, made whole in body and mind. So you see, you send it out there, and you send it with utter strength and conviction that the sending is going to go out there. The second branch where you're talking about, or the third branch, receptive, this is a very interesting thing too. Reception is when you open yourself to the reception of, you know, what you send, you can also receive. So if you send love out, you can also receive love. And this is a more passive state. I'm going to tell you that some of the New Thought authors were talking about how you can bring one part of your mind into projective mode and another part of your mind into receptive mode. So you are always sending and receiving constantly. You're sending from one part of the silence love, and from another part of the silence you're receiving, so that you train your mind to be constantly in a spiritual state of sending and receiving. And it's a very advanced technique. I don't know how to do that. I would just be able to do it one at a time, really. I just concentrate on sending or receiving. So if you were to do the receptive mode, it's very much similar. If like in the Crystal Silence League, the pastors go out with their crystal balls and they send thoughts of healing and love and joy. So this is very much like this. So the techniques for receiving is that you are expectantly joyful. You're expectant that these things are going to come into your life. You have these affirmations, and you keep them in your mind that you have to let go of anxiety, doubt, fear, or worry. Doubt will kill you. Doubt and anxiety and fretting will kill you. And I tell my root work customers this too. I say, you know, if you fret and worry about this, I said, you have to let the work do the work. If you fret and worry and send me 20 emails a day, how's it going, you're going to kill this work. I said, go to a movie, you know, have fun with your friends, let the work do the work. Don't fret about it. Fretting will kill this stuff. Be bravely and expectantly joyful, and believe, have faith. I don't think most people believe that things are going to be okay. And you have to be bravely and expectantly joyful. Drop your fear. Believe in your freedom. Believe that things are going to be okay. And believe that things are going to be successful. Believe that your health is good. Believe that abundance is there for you. You have to open your walls. You let down your defenses and just let it pour into you. And that's really the simple formula for receiving. Just let down your goddamn walls and let it in. Most people are tight, you know, they're anal, they're clenched up and they're tight, and they just don't let anything in. And that's why why can't I get love? Why can't I get money? Why can't I get anything? Because you're clenched up, man. You're just, let it go. And so this is bringing us to really the receptive branch is one of the easiest ones to learn. You just have to let go. Let it come in. Just ask for it and let it come in. There's a lot of people that wish you well. Just let it happen. I remember a friend of mine just said, John, just drink it in. Just drink it in. Just open up and drink it in. And I said, oh, okay. And once you do that, once you drink it in, you find out there's a whole lot out there for you to drink in. You can drown in it. Now, the fourth branch, the transformative branch, crystal magic or healing, that's you have to wonder. Oh, what book? We have a couple of books that we're drawing from. One is called Crystal Gazing: Lessons and Instructions in Silent Influence with the Crystal by Claude Alexander Conlon, and the other one is Personal Lessons, Codes, and Instructions from Members of the Crystal Silence League by Claude Alexander Conlon. Both these books are available from Lucky Mojo Curio Company and the Crystal Silence League, And you can get one of them free if you buy a crystal, crystal ball or crystal, valued at $7 or more, $5 or more. And if you join the Crystal Silence League, I think you get one of these too. And they're very good books. And by the way, I'm working on a third book, Advanced Techniques with Crystals for the Crystal Silence League. That should be done in a couple months or so. I'll probably work on it while I'm recovering from my rotator cuff surgery. I'll have nothing else to do. And I'll be down for 6 weeks with one arm in a sling, so I'll have a good chance to work on that book. And, of course, our newsletter, the Crystal Silence League, $6 and you get a free book, Catherine Ironwood says. Yep, $6 crystal and you get a free book. And, of course, Lucky Mojo Curio Company is our sponsor. And the LNC Radio Network brings you several shows. I could play the LNC radio schedule, except the version I have is outdated. It doesn't have them all on it. And we only have 8 minutes left anyway. I got to talk about some more of the transformative branches. But do tune into all of our wonderful programming. We have a wonderful lineup of hoodoo root work and spiritual programming. The crystal magic or healing. We got a great Nagasiva has posted a link on chat for you to click on to go to our lineup. And by all means, go to the Crystal Silence League website, www.crystalsilenceleague.org, and also look at us on Facebook. And our newsletter, of course, is free. Subscribe to it. And there's many. I edit that, by the way, diligently. I edit that diligently. The transformative branch, crystal magic or healing, that, you know, that crystals have healing properties, no news to most people. The use of crystal balls for healing is a very unique branch of crystallomancy. And so to do healing work, again, it's very important you clear your mind of negative thoughts. If you're, you know, if you're thinking, if your mind is focused on disease, you know, if you're one of these people who obsessively scours the internet for, you know, you get a rash and you go, oh, what does a rash mean? And you scour the internet and you go, oh, my God, it's leprosy. And then you start trying to heal yourself. You're going to project all sorts of bad, negative stuff onto yourself. And that's not what you want to do. So clear your mind of healing thought, of negative thoughts. You know, again, do the meditations and send yourself these healing thoughts. Now, if you can get someone else to work for you, and that's, again, post prayers on the Crystal Silence League, thoughts manifest in daily experiences. So if you fill your mind with obsessive thoughts of illness, those thoughts will probably manifest as actual illness. So Mr. Conlon very wisely advises this. Don't read about sickness or symptoms of sickness, but always think, I'm strong, healthy, filled with power and vitality. I'll tell you, this works. You know, 10 days ago I had pneumonia, not the walking kind. Everybody goes, oh, you must have had walking pneumonia. No, I didn't have the walking kind. I had the type that knocks your pins out, puts you flat on your back, you know, filled lungs filled with fluid. And, you know, the doctor came in very concerned. He said, you don't have the flu, you have pneumonia. The chest x-rays, you know, he came in, you have pneumonia. I said, oh, walking pneumonia? He goes, no, pneumonia. And he said, if you're not better in 2 days, I'm going to put you in the hospital. And I immediately went home and started visualizing healing. I just slept, and I visualized healing. And, of course, I used roots and stones and everything in my power. And, you know, today, it's, 8 days later, I'm up and around. So, you know, believe me, this works. This will get you better. And so you focus these thoughts and feelings, and you'll project into your crystal. So you project these healing thoughts into your crystal ball. It becomes a storehouse. It becomes a magnifier. And you fill the orb with these strong, happy thoughts of healing. And then you send them out toward your target. And if your target's yourself, you draw them in. So you radiate these thoughts. And if you're just doing a general healing for the world, and man, by God, does the world need healing now, radiate those healing rays all directions. radiate them into every direction. Now, if you're doing it for yourself, think about that crystal ball as a lamp and bask in those rays, just like you would under a sun lamp. And you can do these same techniques with quartz, tourmaline, citrine, many other healing crystals. And if you learn these crystal ball techniques, you can integrate it into your crystal work. So all of this will work. And you know, joyfully think about your health. Don't introspect. Don't overthink. Don't think these depressing thoughts. Don't auto-suggest sickness and wellness. Read and think about health. And stay away from pessimistic, negative people. Man, they'll pull you down. Hang out with happy, joyful people. Delight yourself in the open air. And throw off these feelings that the world is ending and that you're sick. For God's sakes, don't watch Fox News. Forget about all that stuff. you know, be active. Be free and well. Laugh as much as you can. Love your body. You know, don't look in the mirror and hate your body. Love it. Love it like it is. You know, find someone who loves your body too. You know, don't be with someone who criticizes your body. Find someone who loves your body for the way it is. Keep, you know, if you're tense and nervous all the time, get a massage, relax. Listen to happy music, brighten up, wear bright colors, make jokes, listen to happy music, be around positive people, be busy, do things that make you happy. And you know, don't do that hypochondriasis thing, and because joy will make you happy and make you healthy more than a medicine cabinet full of pills. And nothing breeds success like success. The more happy things you have in your life, life's too short to feel bad, and life's too short to be unhappy. And I believe totally in cutting out the things in your life that make you happy. You're better off being happy and alone than unhappy and surrounded by people that drag you down. I completely believe this, and I think this is very true. So the four branches of crystallomancy, of Claude Conlon, founded in New Thought. This has been our synopsis of this. Next week I'm going to have surgery, so I won't be with you next week. We're going to do a rebroadcast. I'll probably do the Crystal Earth program. That was very popular. One of the other things that Mr. Conlon advocates is developing sex force. And he says that the great men and women of the past and present have had a strong sex force. And he says, all that is best in a man or woman can be brought out by the influence of sexual love, especially if that love is reciprocated and like-kind and like-out. Likewise, all the worst in a man or woman may come to the fore if sexual forces be hindered or impeded in their desired function or if they are ill-spent. Sexual power is the concentration of all the bodily powers, a most potent of all cosmic forces. Before working with a crystal, it is essential that the student study, learn, and understand the natural physical anatomy of sex, including musculature, neurology, and the chemical effects of hormones on sexual expression. This material is easily obtained, but it must not be overlooked. Devote time to it. And I'm going to leave you with that thought. This is John St. Germain, Crystal Silence League. Stay tuned for In the Streets with Beverly Smith. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for tuning in.